Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location once again where we talk about the real things that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. Today's topic, that's what you're wanting to come and hear about, is about the tongue. It has many challenges and more than just one way that it actually hurts things. But we find as we talk about this sort of thing that there are many things that this tongue can actually do to be disruptive in our lives and almost at times wishing we had that take back. So, wish I didn't say that. But anyway, in the studio with me today is one of the guys who has the same challenge as I do with it. And Joel's in the house. Good to have you, bro.
It's good to be here.
All right. Now, you brought up the topic about speaking in tongues, I almost said, about the tongue and dealing with the tongue and all of its vices, so to speak. But what brought to mind this topic? How did you come about thinking, let's talk about this?
So it had happened to me the other day. I was at work helping a customer, talking about what he wanted, you know, what I was going to sell him. And then the topic turned personal a little bit after we decided on what he wanted. You know, conversation got a little personal, as it does sometimes. You know, you're dealing with customers every once in a while. You know, how's your day going? Oh, wow. Well, how's that family doing?
Yeah.
Type of thing. Well, it slipped. Something came out of my mouth that should not have come out of my mouth because it was not uplifting. And it wasn't anything really bad that came out of my mouth, but it was a subject that could be considered a negative subject in some people's eyes. And it only got worse from there. It opened the door for him to start complaining about a lot of things.
Right.
And it's a fire.
Yes. So I got to tell you, as soon as you started to mention about something came out of your mouth, I thought to myself, Joel, man, you end up cussing? You know, that's what a lot of guys end up thinking. We think, yes, our mouth, the cuss words that come out sometimes, you know, the Bible's explicit about talking about that sort of thing and how certain things take place as a result of it. But our tongue can do so much more damage, and we're going to be talking about that. And so that's a good way of kind of opening this thing up. What I'd like to do is I just want to read in from the book of James, chapter 3. I'm going to read 1 through 12. So just put up with me here for a moment. I'm going to read from NIV 84. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So there it is. That kind of lets us know once and for all that it's not just about cussing. It's exactly about what you talked about. Talk about something negative,
yes,
or in a sense. This is where the Bible even talks about busybodies, people who trying to get other people's business, trying to help out, and gossip.
Yep.
Okay. This is all part of taming the tongue, in a sense, right?
It is. And to give you a little bit more of an idea of what it was, without being too specific, it was something that could be considered political in our community, an issue that's going on in our community right now that maybe one side of a political spectrum agrees with this decision and the other side of this political spectrum does not agree with this decision.
Right.
And so what I had said, most people in the church that I go to, most people in most churches around here would agree with me on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, most all of them would agree with me on this issue, even people that don't go to church. But the fact of the matter was, what I said was not uplifting in the conversation, because it is something that people are a little bit angry about right now, this decision that has been made. And
especially
so,
those that live out in the county.
Especially those that live out in the county, it affects them. And so I had brought this issue up just in passing, you know, how I disagree with it, and it's not a good thing. And the gentleman disagreed with it as well. But it only fueled the fire from there.
Yes.
To then where he started speaking maybe of a certain people in a not uplifting way. And I had realized after the conversation that I had caused that fire. I was that small spark, that small ember that started that blaze. And I had to end that conversation quickly by turning it back to work. But it is very easy to start that fire.
You know, and those are the things that end up causing arguments, discouragement, relationally, it puts a bitter taste into the whole thing, and especially toward the other individual, especially if it's someone that you maybe care for or like. Then all of a sudden you find that they disagree with you in a certain way. And all of a sudden, before you know it, what turned into this very small thing, just to make a statement in a sense, that all of a sudden, boom, it's just like that little flame. You know, all you need, if you got spilled fuel on the ground, and all it needs is a spark, right? Before that thing is all of a sudden, whoof, right? The whole thing is started up.
Exactly. Now, this was not something I should have said at work. So I was at fault there. That was a sin on my part, and I repented of it, and I know the Lord forgave me. But not even that. This is not something we should necessarily be talking about at church, or even just in passing when we should be saying uplifting words.
Right.
Because even if you both agree on the subject, and then the other person complains about something else, and you both agree on that, what if a non-believer walks by and they hear you speaking the way you're speaking?
Mm-hmm.
What is that going to say? We are representatives of Christ here on earth.
Right.
What does that say about our Lord and Savior when others hear us saying these negative things?
Well, so often, and it comes back down to the simple fact that we end up having to take a look at ourselves and the things that we end up doing. Because we can get caught up in stuff. I mean, I've seen it even with men talking about sports teams. You know, whether it's the Super Bowl or the World Series or just another team that's playing your local team that you're in support of, and just hammering it as if it's just like it's Play-Doh. Let me just beat this thing up a little bit and, you know, stretch it out and tear it up and roll it up and then put it away when I'm done type of thing. Until next time I use it again, right?
Exactly. So. I mean, even with sports teams, it gets to the point to where maybe we're putting others down. The other team. And in James 3:9 there it says, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God.
Yes.
It's not just saying curse other believers, but people themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're all made in the likeness of God. We all have that eternal soul.
Right.
So even if you don't agree with maybe some people on that other side that don't agree with you, are you supposed to curse them?
Yeah.
Well, no.
Yeah.
Because they're made in God's likeness. God wants them to come to Him.
Right.
So how are we supposed to turn this around and use our tongue for good.
Well, you know, so often, and what we're talking about different aspects of how the tongue can be used negatively or sinfully, okay? And what we will be talking about are some of the things that we can do to apply into our lives so that this can be minimized, okay? But because truly what it comes down to is that in James 3, he talks about it right there, that man cannot tame the tongue, okay? But there are other areas of the Bible that talk about this sort of thing. And this isn't just to hammer on this sort of thing, but it is about, hey, you're wanting to hear about this sort of thing because you're listening to this podcast. Psalm 34, verse 14. In the ESV, it says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Okay? So right there, he's telling us what not to do, but he's also telling us what to be able to stay clear of this muddy water, so to speak, right? And we just have to be willing to do that sort of thing. But it's easy to get caught up, especially when you're in a social scene. After church, if you gather together in coffee or in whatever, you know, it's easy to get caught up with others and start talking about certain things. And then it's kind of like, wait a minute, why would this be any different than what we just heard from the pulpit or what we believe that the Word of God says? Why is it that we get so easily caught up on this stuff? It's really easy to see the wrong and the negative in other people, isn't it?
It really is, and it's really hard to see it in our own selves.
A lot of times because we're not willing to look. You know, James talks about it, right? A man looks in the mirror and immediately turns away, saying,
Forgetting what he saw.
You know, yeah. I don't want to have to look at me.
Yeah, you see the real you.
It's easier to
look
at
away.
The others, right? Because in a sense, for me, and I'll speak for myself, there's a sense of self-gratitude of thinking, look how much better I am because I am not like them. Yet, I'm not looking at what I'm saying or hearing what I'm saying to this individual in agreement or even in disagreement about certain things, whether it has to do with politics or religion or anything else, right, for that matter.
Yeah. You know, you get caught up in those situations because maybe you want to fit in. Or maybe mm-hmm. you do really agree this is an issue that affects you personally.
Yep.
It affects your life, and this makes your life harder. And so it really kind of upsets you.
Yeah.
And then to find out that someone else agrees with you on this issue,
mm-hmm.
well, it makes you feel good because you're not the only one this affects.
Mm-hmm.
So you can agree with this person on what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's the way you've been raised and taught to believe.
Mm-hmm.
So then it starts fueling the fire, and it gets bigger, and it gets bigger. But it doesn't have to. It doesn't have to. Any one of you can turn this situation around. You know, Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear.
Yes.
So as fits the occasion for building up. Well, if you gathered for coffee with some brothers, what did you gather for coffee about? To maybe lift each other up, build each other up? Sometimes we tend to tear others down to try and lift ourselves up.
Yes.
But that's not what the Lord has in store for us. That's
right.
Not what he desires.
Right, right. If you go to, because here we've got all our scripture that we just want to throw out, but we want to be able to throw out so that you guys know that it's not just in James, but you just throw out 1 Corinthians, right?
Ephesians 4:29.
Ephesians, rather. And I've got Psalms 39. I said, I will guard my ways, that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with the muzzle so long as the wicked are in my presence. So it's funny, this reminds me of how easily we get caught up in a conversation. If you walk up to, say, a few people are talking on something and you happen to catch up, and you know them all, right? You just don't come on up and say, hey, how you guys doing? And, oh, we're just doing good, you know, we're just talking about whatever, right? And all of a sudden they were talking about the supervisor or the manager or whatever. You're at work, right? And they're tearing him apart verbally, okay? And you get caught up in that sometimes because maybe you've been touched by it also. It's difficult not to say something. But that's where it says here that I will do everything I can to guard my mouth, put a muzzle on it. And sometimes that can be tough. It's easier to go along and jump on the bandwagon with everybody else versus that of being just the opposite of saying, I'm not going there, you know, type of thing.
Yeah, anyway. You know, and, you know, you might get caught up in it because, like I said, it might affect you.
Yes.
You know, maybe you had a hard time with the supervisor, and
yes.
you don't want to think about maybe how the supervisor feels in his situation or what you should be doing while you're getting paid to work. But we have to ask ourselves, why do we fall into these situations? Why do we fall into these temptations to speak negatively of others, to tear others down instead of build others up? Jesus himself says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yes, yes.
And so we have to search ourselves, and we have to see what it is that's causing us to be speaking this way.
Right. Well, you know, that is that verse is one of those where we go, oops, I shouldn't have said that. You know, in our heads, we say that. We want to take it back, but you cannot take it back. It's been said. It's too late. Even if you make amends, they may forgive you, but they are still going to remember what you said. You know, it doesn't wipe away the memory, especially if it's impactful. You know, it's kind of like, you know, sometimes I think as men who are married, we get tested all the time. Our wife says, this dress, how does this look on me? You know, I'll let you guys answer that one. We're going to take a break right now so I can clear my throat, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Bannon Brothers Radio.
Does the enemy have you pinned down, caught in the crosshairs? There's always a way out. Fire an email to help@bandofbrothersradio.com and we'll offer a strategy.
Every life is unique. Every life has a purpose. So when it comes time to remember the life of a loved one who has passed on, Cascade Monuments can help memorialize that special loved one through a personally designed monument. Cascade Monuments can engrave stones with the image of a person's face, majestic mountain scenes, sailboats, and more. Some monuments even contain built-in solar-powered video screens, and at the push of a button, a video montage will reveal the loved one's life. Learn more by visiting CascadeMonuments.com.
We're all related, brothers and strangers. The king and the beggar bleed the same. We've all got a sickness, a terminal condition. We medicate it, but the pain won't go away. See the eyes of a million faces, looking for it in a million places. Only one can save us, Jesus.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, Joel and Raul. Good song. The man, I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's in the studio because I wasn't doing that before. But anyway, it doesn't matter in either case. So a couple other things. Here's one in verses, some scripture here, Proverbs 13. You know, Proverbs is so full of so much wisdom in a sense. It's like Solomon had intended it to be. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life, and who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. You know, so often we know that from our own experiences, you know, that is when I can restrain from saying anything, you know, which is really difficult to do sometimes, especially if you feel strong about something, right?
Yes. You know, we are driven by our passions. As men, we are driven by our passions. And so if you feel really passionate about something, really passionate about this issue that's just getting you fired up, you know, it's hard to just restrain yourself from it.
Yes.
But maybe we don't have to restrain ourselves from it. Maybe we don't have to keep from maybe speaking about this issue or doing something to change this issue even. You know, we are called to be active in our communities. And so we don't have to just be passive and sit back, but we're called not to have negative speak in the process. And so you don't have to restrain yourself from it, But you have to think about your words beforehand. You know, the heart of the righteous ponders mm-hmm. how to respond. Mm-hmm. You know, so you need to sit there and you need to think about what you're going to say before you say it and not just let words fly out of your mouth loosely.
Right.
You can use uplifting words in a situation. You don't have to always beat someone down. But it, you have to think about it a little bit first.
Well, you know, so often that's usually what it comes down to is how I am going to end up dealing with this sort of thing. Here's some more scripture. And if you guys are writing some of these down, it's probably a good thing. Then you can actually look and read them later on at your own convenience. Sometimes I get a little 3x5 card or a small legal pad and write down at the top, you know, taming the tongue. And you start going over some of the verses that we're giving you. It helps you be able to find it where it can be your little, not commentary, concordance to be able to get to those. Another one is in Proverbs 15. 1-4 it says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. Keep watch on the evil and the good. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but oh my goodness, I just went blank. This last one here.
Perverseness.
Thank you. For some reason, I just could not get that out. Perverseness, in it breaks the spirit. So really what it comes down to, in a sense, is that we have opportunity of being able to really be able to lift somebody up in a moment. And at that same very next moment, we can tear somebody apart. Okay? Even those that we love. How often have we, who have had children, have a tendency of saying something to our kids in such a manner that is degrading, in a sense, or making them feel really bad when it wasn't intended for that to happen, but because of our own anger, or maybe the way that we were dealt with when we were kids and the way we received it came a certain way that we thought we'd never, ever use against them or toward them, and we end up doing it, right?
Yep, and then we remember how we felt.
Yeah.
But sometimes our pride's a little bit too strong for us to confess, you know, our wrongs.
Yes.
Maybe admit that we made a mistake.
Right.
You know, but you can.
Yes.
You can confess it. There can be forgiveness, and you can change the way you think.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Yes.
And those who love it will eat its fruit.
Yes.
So we can. We can speak life to those around us, or we can speak death.
And for those of us that are would be considered controllers, in when it comes to conversation, we like to be able to sometimes poke the tiger on the other side of the bars, right?
Well, you got those bars there, so it's safe.
Yeah, so you think it's safe, yeah, until you realize that the door is locked open, you know, and that tiger can come out through the door and not realize that is there. But we have a tendency sometimes of trying to make a point, sounding as if we're self-righteous or righteous, I should say, and trying to make a point. And in turn, what we're really doing is creating anger in that individual, you know?
Yeah.
And causing them to see how they're going to take this, you know? Like we're testing them as if we have a right to test others, you know?
Exactly. You know, and sometimes we're even guilty of trying to use scripture to justify what we say.
Yes.
Well, you know, in the Bible it says that you shouldn't do this.
Right.
You should be doing this instead. Well, in the Bible it says this.
Yes.
Well, you know who else used scripture a lot of times? Satan.
Yes. Against Jesus.
Against Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He even uses it against us at times.
No.
No, not at all. So we are guilty of sometimes twisting the word of God to fit our own desires.
Yes.
You
yes.
know? Well, maybe those people shouldn't be doing that because that's illegal.
Yes.
And Jesus wouldn't break the law. You know, the Bible tells us to obey the law.
Yes.
Well, the Bible
yes.
tells us to love above all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is the most important thing.
So, those are one of the major challenges that we're going to talk about here when it comes to the application of how to be able to take care of this challenge that we have with our mouth that flies off the handle and everything. Now, just to include it, because we're talking about different things, but even in cussing, you know, so often I had such a filthy mouth when my children were, before they were born and even up until a certain age of maybe 3 years old, 4 years old is when I actually realized that I need to stop using the language that I was using, okay? And but it came so automatically. You know, it became a part of who I was and how I ended up expressing myself. And thinking that by using cuss words in a certain time frame or in a certain position in my talk or whatever it is, most of the time I'm yelling at that point, that it was more impactful or received with meaning, right? And yet, all it did was just the opposite. It shut people down or caused anger, and like we talked about in this last verse that I read. But that sort of thing, whether it be at work, and I used to justify it, hey, at work, that's just what we do. It comes out automatically. I'm with guys all day long, and this is the way that they talk. Every other word is an F-bomb. And, you know, there's all the other bombs that go along with us, you know. But the mother of all bombs, right, the Moab from the lips is the F-bomb, right?
Oh, yeah.
And
fudge.
Yes. But as a result of that, we can also realize how impactful that is on our children, especially when we hear our children using it, you know. They use it, where'd you get that from? You know, they'll say, I don't know, you know, and same thing I would have said.
Yeah, and then we get angry at them.
Yes.
And then we start to think, well, were you with your friends?
Yeah.
Were you with your cousins? Where did you learn that word? I want to know so I can discipline whoever, or I can tell their parents.
Yeah.
It really strikes deep to the core when you realize they learned it from you.
Yeah. That usually comes not from them, usually from our wives if they hear it.
Yeah.
You know, they say, you know, you use that word a lot.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
I never use it around the kids. Well, maybe you were in the other room on the phone conversation with a friend when your voice carried through the house.
Or even in the sense when you have gatherings, okay? You have your buddies, your family's over, and you guys are having a picnic in the backyard, and you're having a little barbecue going on, and the men stand around together, and they're playing horseshoes or just talking, right? The cuss words are coming from there, and the kids can hear it. Kids are playing. Everyone's happy. The wives are over here talking about how their husbands look at how they're talking and cussing and everything. And you know. But anyway, my point being is that it is impactful. Others can hear it. Our children hear it. And they think it's all right because my dad does it. And yet when dad tries to take care of us on that, it's just kind of like it's, oh, man, you're in trouble. You know, there's that movie on at Christmas time, the little boy with the BB gun, Christmas Story. You know, when his dad was always using foul language, right? The furnace goes out and he's, you know, having at it, right? And then, of course, the scene where his son goes out to help him for the first time changing the tire, right? And he's holding the hubcap that are holding the lug nuts, right, too close to his dad, right? And his dad hits it, anyway, knocks him into the snow, and then he says, oh, fudge, right?
Yep. Oh, fudge.
And all of a sudden it was like, what did you just say? And then, you know, of course, then it goes on from there. And then the dad not having a clue as to that he is the one that he learned this from, you know? And so often these are the type of things that we end up not realizing how much we impact those around us.
Exactly. You know, our children learn from us. Our wives learn from us. Our families learn from us. You may have coworkers that look up to you. You know, you may have young believers that look up to you, that see you as an example. Well, what kind of example are you setting with the speech that comes out of your mouth? Mm-hmm. Whether it be curse words, whether it just be mean words towards someone or a type of people that you don't disagree with, that you feel are maybe shouldn't be here. What type of example are you setting? Is it an example of love or an example of hate?
Yeah, yeah. Let's take our last break right now, and then we'll come back, and we're going to talk about some application that we can do toward trying to see how we can eliminate this type of verbiage that comes from our lips. But from Proverbs 21, verse 23, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
Are you having a problem getting reliable internet service at your home or business? Are you disappointed with the company currently providing your internet connection? Maybe it's time that you check out an alternative company that's attracting a growing number of customers. StarTouch Broadband Services. StarTouch is Washington State's largest microwave internet service provider. And StarTouch has now expanded into Oregon as well. Learn how to contact them for a free quote by clicking on the StarTouch logo on the sponsor page of faithplace.org. StarTouch Broadband Services.
StarTouch Broadband Services.
You're changing my heart to want what you want, to love how you love, and that is enough. There's no greater plan that I need to know. You only ask me to follow and want what you want, and want what you want, and want what you want, and want what you want.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. Joel and Raul in the studio, in the house. And we're talking about, of course, the tongue and how it can be used so negatively. And yet we, with the same, like the scripture talks about, that we end up praising God with the same lips that end up cursing not only God, but others, okay? So probably a good reason why it says that there's no way that man can tame the tongue. In Proverbs 15, I'm going to read a few verses in this, okay? All of 15 is good, but this is, I'm going to read hit and miss on a few of them here. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keep watch on the evil and the good. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Therefore, or I should say, the lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of fools. And then if I get all the way down here to 28, it says, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. And that's why I wanted to end with that part there, because it says the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, okay? But the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. That verse tells me that exactly how I used to be. I didn't think before I spoke. I just spoke what I was feeling, okay, without any regard for anybody else and how they would receive it. And in some cases, it was intentional, but in some cases, it was the oops, I shouldn't have said that type of thing, right?
Yep. Yeah, and let me tell you, brothers, you know, if you have a feeling of anger or frustration, that isn't necessarily a sin.
Yep.
To be angry or upset about something. There is nothing, you know, about that that would be a sin. It's how you decide to act upon that feeling that could be a sin, that could be putting others down. It's how you decide to speak. So if you have a desire and a passion about something, you need to find a better way to express it. You need to find a better way to say it. Psalm 141, verse 3 says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Verse 4 goes on to say, do not let my heart incline to any evil, to busy myself with wicked deeds, in company with men who work in iniquity, and let me not eat of their delicacies. Mm. You know, sometimes maybe to watch what we say, we need to maybe have some scripture memorized.
Yes.
I know when I have a problem lusting over other women that I see, a really good verse for me to recite is Psalm 23. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Mm. And I tell myself that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Mm-hmm.
And soon, the desire, the craving has gone away. The time has passed. You know, Psalm 141, verse 3, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth,
mm-hmm.
is a really good one to have memorized. If you feel the urge to say something, just say that to yourself before you speak.
So often here you are using the armor of God that he has given us to be able to guard our heart with the breastplate, right? And our mind, our head with the helmet, okay? And using the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, to be able to divide and conquer that that's being thrown at you or desiring to come out, right?
Yes. So you have the armor of God. You have the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the boots, the helmet, the shield, all of it to defend yourself against the attacks. But how do you fight back? Because unless you fight back, that temptation to say something is going to keep coming. You fight back with your sword, which is the word of God.
Mm-hmm. So often we sit there and we think of there's got to be a way of being able to keep I know this, when my language was the way that it was, I was in recovery, and I had my sponsor at the time who actually helped me out. He knew I had two daughters and that were young at that time. And, of course, he told me, he says, so why do you use language like this all the time? And, of course, I gave him the excuse all of us have it. One time or another, when somebody confronted us about our language, well, hey, I've been doing this for so long, it's just hard to get rid of it. And and then, of course, use the fact that I've got friends, and this is the way that we end up talking a lot, you know. And then he goes on to let me know, do you want your daughters to be able to speak like this? Of course not. I watch what I say there. Well, are you able to do that all the time? I said, no. And he told me something. He said, you know what? You're actually, the problem is this, believe it or not, is that your vocabulary needs to be expanded. And I go, what do you mean? He says, your vocabulary. You're an intelligent guy. You can use other words to describe what you'd like to describe rather than using cuss words, because you use those in place because you don't know what else to say. So you use those because it's simple. Now, the way that he was talking to me, I was receiving it, but in hindsight, I remember after the conversation and him giving me some pointers, I looked back and I thought, man, I think he was slamming me, you know, and in a sense. But he was actually, it was a reproof. It was a rebuke and a reproof at the same time of being able to say, listen, man, this is not good, but here's what you can do to change it. You're intelligent. So you know what he did? He said, will you make a pact with me? I said, sure, because I thought he was going to tell me not to cuss around him, right? I said, sure. He said, okay. So every week until I say enough, I'm going to give you a new word for you to look up what it is, and you need to use that word all week long, somewhere in your conversation with as many people as possible. I said, serious? You know, I'm not in school. You know, but I was, in a sense. And he actually taught me how to be able to use other words that would be best describe and you know what? And it worked. He said the other thing that he did, and this is, of course, you may think, okay, here you are trying to tame the tongue. Well, there are certain things that we can do, okay, to be able to help eliminate it or do it less. And part of this was he had said, I want you to imagine your two daughters holding one on each side of your hands on each side of you, and that with everyone you're talking with, that they're right there with you. So that you can't cuss, because you don't cuss in front of them. That's what you told me. And I did. I imagined that, okay? And then I used the words that he would give me and try to. And then all of a sudden, now I'm more mindful, believe it or not, of thinking of something else other than not thinking, right?
Yeah.
What I'm going to say rather than just saying it.
Yep. And, you know, it's a really good thing. And sometimes we don't see our faults. Another brother can offer some uplifting advice in that situation. You know, I know me, one of the things I have is a problem with sarcasm. Now, sarcasm is a slip of the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you say something that's not true, but you say it in such a blatant way that everyone knows you're joking about it because you're being sarcastic.
Right.
But does sarcasm lift others up? No, it does not. Does it annoy people? Yes, it does. And I've been called out on it before by a fellow brother. I've been called out on my sarcasm before. And it happens less and less. Do I still slip? I do. Do I repent of it? I do.
Yes. You know, it's so often, and sarcasm can be used by all of us to at a certain degree, depending on who you're talking with. And it is just actually I found for myself that fear was at, and anger were at the base of that, you know, of, you know, just being able to kind of get back at somebody and to even give that little smirky look, you know, and it, it is does nothing except just create distrust in a relationship where all of a sudden others are that you're talking with are sitting there going, man, I don't even want to be around this guy, you know, because nobody wants to be around somebody who's acting and treating others that way. So let me read out of the book of Romans, Romans 8. 10 through 14 here. It says, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So really what it comes down to is that our relationship with Jesus Christ is so key to us being able to get to this place of eliminating the way that we talk to other people about other things, about things that are that he doesn't want us to be talking to them about. You know, Jesus is so keen and tries to simplify it for us, okay, that all of the commandments, he said they are boiled down into two commandments. The greatest of them is to love me, seek me with everything that you have, all your strength, all of your, everything that you are, okay? And the second one is like it, to love others as you love yourself. Or to think of others more highly than yourself. And in those two things, he said all the commandments fall under these two categories, one or the other. And in doing so, when we're doing that, we have no need to fear or to be angry or a desire to attract attention to us. We're actually wanting to lift others up and give them hope that this relationship in Jesus Christ is what is truly the change in my life. Right?
Yes. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about, you know, that if you're not speaking in love, you're like a noisy gong.
Oh, yes.
You're like a clanging cymbal.
Yes.
When Jesus says in John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give you, mm-hmm. that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
Right.
You know, we are supposed to be known by our love. They will know us by our love. They
yes.
will know we are Christians by our love.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen, and I'm guilty of it, we're falling away from that.
Mm-hmm.
When society, non-believers in society, think about Christians, do they think about people who love one another, who love the hurting around them, who help those? Or do they think about people who are judgmental? Do they think about people who maybe push away at people on the other side of the political spectrum,
mm-hmm.
people that
mm-hmm.
put others down.
Yep.
How are you known? Are you known by your love?
Yeah.
Or are you known by your political affiliation, by your speak, by your sarcasm?
And this is an area where you are not going to become perfect in this area. I mean, we are going to falter. We're going to slip up. But the more that we seek Christ, okay, and being more like him, as just to resemble him, he desires us to be holy. He commands us to be holy, not desires. He commands us to be holy and to be perfect as he is perfect. And in so doing, when we are attempting to be those followers of Jesus Christ as a disciple, this is what we are to do, and this is how we are to act. And in doing so, our lives, we're no longer going to be in that position, or I should say minimized quite a bit, of ever going there and trying to look better than anybody else or trying to put others down because of the way that they are, where there truly is no judgment or condemnation, okay? But because of the fact that we live in a fallen world and our heart is of evil, as the Bible talks about, we need to really guard everything that we're doing and be conscious of everything that we're saying, even before we say it. I think as a result of that, we end up becoming the men that God had intended us to be, the fathers, the husbands, the brothers in Christ with everyone that we live with, right?
Amen. So, amen. We need to surrender what we say before we say it.
Oh, wow. There's a good one right there. Because the simple fact is we need to just say, Lord, is this pleasing to you? Is this lifting you up? Is it bringing, you know, and especially when others know who we presume to be, right, as followers of Jesus Christ, right?
That's the big one.
That means that we are actually have a light on us, and people are saying, ah, so you're one of those. Well, we want them to be able to say that in such a manner that they're saying, it's good to meet you, rather than, oh, let me get away from you, right?
Yep.
So
exactly.
That's a good topic. This is something that we all can, as men, can, hey, you know what? We're being challenged to be able to seek more of the Lord. That's the way to go, bro. So how about you? Good topic. How about you praying for our brothers who are listening?
Thank you. Heavenly Father, I lift up to you the brothers listening. And Lord, any that have a fire on their tongue for unholy speak, I pray, you know, just by your holy water that you would extinguish that fire, Lord, and that they would speak words of life to others around them, that they would be known as followers of Jesus because of their love for you and for others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.